You fellas have a lot of growing up to do, I'll tell you that. Ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. Can you believe these characters? Way out of line, way out of line. I have a good mind to go to the warden about this. You know what hurts the most is the lack of respect. You know? That's what hurts the most. Except for the other thing. That hurts the most, but the lack of respect hurts the second most.
Weaver, McKenna, you're free to go.
Ridiculous.
Hi. Hello. And holy shit, my name is Adam.
And I'm Melissa.
And this is Below Freezing, a podcast in which we talk about films that have a Rotten Tomato score of 32% or less. And I am just so happy that I got to introduce you to this little nostalgic piece of my childhood. The movie that we are talking about today is 1998's Dirty Work. Now, you had not heard of, seen, knew nothing about this movie beforehand.
No.
Okay. So I guess before we launch into the full thing, like if you could, before we do the standard thing, could you sum up this movie in one word? Not like its plot, but just like how you feel about it.
Just fine.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
That's great.
No.
That's great.
That's not right.
No, you just did it.
Okay.
Just fine. Okay, so who picked this movie and why? This is in the slate of movies that we pulled out recently, but this was me. I was pushing this one pretty hard, and I'm glad I did.
Wait, I'm gonna take it back.
Oh,
it's not just fine.
Okay,
pleasantly surprised. That's the right one.
Okay.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Interesting.
In
okay.
How I feel about this movie.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So what are we trying to get through it? So you finished a bottle of something you didn't like.
Oh, I didn't drink a whole bottle.
No. You finished. You had some of a bottle left.
That has been open for days.
Okay. We are really clarifying this.
Well, yes.
Because we don't want to make you sound like an alcoholic.
Right.
I get it. That's not what I was trying to do. You had a glass of what we had left, which
yes.
you were kind of just wanting to get through anyway.
Yeah, it was.
Well, do we want to besmirch the company? We like some of their other.
Oh, it's Apothic?
Well, there you go. But there it is.
I love their wine.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't had this one. This was their...
rosé, right?
Their dark rosé.
A dark rosé?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wouldn't drink it anyway, so I don't know.
But. And it wasn't bad. It was... I think I told you it was like really sweet, but I don't even think that's the right...
Was it just fine?
It was just fine. Yes. That's where I mixed up. This wine was just fine.
Not pleasantly surprised.
I think
with
that's
the
why
wine.
I had it for days. I would have a glass and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm just fine. Yeah.
But
I'm
then
just fine.
But and that's why you have an old standard to go back to.
So right. Well, and I had the glass of I'm just fine wine.
Yes.
And then I had a glass of I'm pleasantly surprised.
How much you still like
this wine.
The Oliver Blueberry right. Moscato.
Yeah.
So there you go. I have a new variety pack. This is from War Pigs Brewing, which I have not had before.
I like the can.
Yeah, it's got some medieval like fighting on it. It's brewed with orange and lemon peels. It's a luminiferous IPA. Boy, I'm really bummed. I can't see
what
luminiferous. I don't think it's a word, but it is certainly what they're trying to go for. I feel really bad. I can't see. Oh, it's from Munster, Indiana. There we go.
Oh.
Okay.
We're drinking some.
Oh, Indiana, reppin' the good old days.
Isn't there a song about Indiana?
There's probably a few songs.
Isn't
about Indiana.
Isn't there like I'm an Indiana girl? Mm. What am I thinking of?
She grew up in an Indiana town, had a good-looking mama who never was around, but she grew up tall and she grew up right. Who sings that song?
Give me two truths and a lie.
No, because if I say, here's the thing. If I say the one, you'll know it. It's the inside
Is it Tom
joke.
Petty?
Yeah, it's Tom Petty.
Oh my God, I was going to say John Mellencamp.
He's from Indiana. Look, it's all coming together. It's all a thing.
Okay.
It's all there. Okay. Well, clink. I think we did that, but we skipped it. So clink.
Clink.
And then a sip, a loud
sip. You know,
What's up?
What would have been good? The Two Truths and a Lie.
Uh-huh.
John Mellencamp.
Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm. And James Crow. If somebody heard our last.
Wow. If they're really sticking with the obscure references, the fake references, to be perfectly honest. Okay. So director, writers, cast. Here we go. Do you know, did you clock who directed this movie?
2 seconds ago. When I just turned those lights off and I saw who directed it.
Okay.
I think that's why I was thrown off.
Would you like to say who directed it?
Bob Saget.
His feature debut as a director. There's a lot here in the trivia about them wanting to make like an R-rated comedy. And you can see where they wanted to go with it, but a lot got cut. And that'll come into play when we talk about the runtime, which like this movie's barely 80 minutes before the credits. Like, and they did cut a lot that was they found to be R-rated. So anyways.
What did this movie end up being?
PG-13.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You can't. I'm sorry.
Bob
Saget as the director and this cast.
Yes.
And make this a PG movie.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
I would hope that one day they release this in the director's cut.
Melissa, I'm so glad that you said that. You just teed me up for a perfect segue. So there were reports. Part of the reason why I wanted to do this as well is because obviously, and the writer and star of this movie is Norm Macdonald. So Norm passed away in 2021 and Bob Saget died a little bit after that. So prior to his death, there was talks of writing a sequel. They wanted to do a sequel to Dirty Work, and Bob Saget would have been attached to do it as well. Bob Saget died not too long after Norm Macdonald did, but Bob Saget talked about trying to find the deleted footage and actually putting together a director. Yeah, actually, he said that. I want to check my... he was on Artie Lang's podcast in November of 2021 and talked about trying to find the lost footage and put together the R-rated director's cut, but he passed away 2 months after he said that on the show. So this is also just a nice little tribute to some very funny people.
Oh, yeah.
So we mentioned Norm Macdonald. We mentioned Artie Lang, who plays... Norm plays Mitch. Artie plays Sam. That would be Mitch's best friend. Jack Warden plays Pops. Now, you have seen him in two things. I'm not going to make you guess. But two of the things I know you've seen him in. He was one of the jurors in 12 Angry Men.
Was he?
He is the juror who wants to go watch the baseball game. He just wants to get out and watch the game. And do you remember the movie Being There with Peter Sellers, who's kind of the gardener?
Oh my God.
He's the president in Being There.
That. Talk about a great.
So I love it. Last time we talked about the Fisher King and now we're talking about Being There.
Can I say something?
Please.
Yes. Fisher King, but like gems. Being There.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I always forget because this movie has two names. It's an old movie.
Oh,
you introduced me to
A Matter of Life and Death.
Yes. And the Stairway to
Heaven is the other. Yep.
Okay. Yep. I don't know why I get them mixed up because I always want to say A Stairway to Life. Like, I don't know. But seriously, 1001 made me like... You would say movies, and I wish I would actually watch more with you. But
we both could be better about it. But
a million podcasts we do, like there's so many movies you watch. I just don't have that kind of time. Someone has to parent our kids.
That's fair. It certainly isn't going to be me. So.
But no, they're gems that I'm just like I want to just go back and have a weekend of like these movies.
It's funny because I know we're taking unnecessary time to talk about it, but I remember I said I gotta watch this movie for the pod, and you didn't feel good. And you were like, I'll start it, but I don't think I'm gonna like it. And then you stuck around and really dug it.
Oh,
and
that
movie
my God.
That movie is great.
And then the I don't think you guys did this one, but The Apartment.
Oh no, we did.
Okay,
yes,
that's another one.
But we watched it before.
Yes,
yes.
And then I'm sorry. Now I'm just like,
no, this is great. Gems.
Oh, what was the foreign film about the two couple? Or they're like not a couple, but they're like the couples are friends, and they I don't know if it's an affair. Now I'm like forgetting. It's the, is it Asian? The
In the Mood for Love.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's another, like.
Wow, you are. There we go. That was
Victoria. That's another one. Victoria. That is just like.
Look at you.
I'm sorry.
We are recommending some like good movies on this episode. So let's make sure. Let's recap. We got The Fisher King being there, Victoria in the Mood for Love, and A Matter of Life and Death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the five you said.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, there we go. Well, we're going to talk about this.
There's more, but I'm just saying.
Of course. Of course.
I would never just go, Adam, let's watch A Matter of Life and Death. Like,
I mean, we should, but no,
well,
we don't.
Well, now I would. I would have never. I know. Yeah. Sorry. Mm-mm.
That was great. That brings, because Jack Warden was 12 Angry Men, and that was, you were on that episode of 1001 by One.
But yeah.
So now you asked, and I'll do my best to answer this question. A girl named Traylor Howard plays Kathy. She is the love interest in this movie. Here's the thing. I don't really know. Apparently she was a character in a movie we could easily do on the show, Me, Myself, and Irene, which was a Jim Carrey split personality.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever seen that. Wasn't Cameron Diaz in that?
No, that's Renee Zellweger.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's the lead in that. But she does not have, no, she's not.
Okay.
Nah. No, not mean nothing against her, but I'll say she doesn't have a huge, apparently, now I didn't watch the show. It looks like she had a recurring part in Monk.
No, never.
So anyways, but that's that, whatever. Let's continue on with our cast. Chris Farley, uncredited as Jimmy, who is their friend. Also in terms of, now he actually would die of a drug overdose, but 6 months before the film was released.
Oh, so
this is the last. So wow. Almost Heroes, which is the movie with Matthew Perry, mm-hmm. is the last credited role, but the last on-screen appearance was this. Which is also why I think they end with him in the bloopers.
Okay.
Yeah. Our good friend Shooter McGavin and former person who hits on my wife, Christopher McDonald, plays Travis Cole. And, I mean, this is a scorching hot development. Melissa thinks sexy Chevy Chase as Dr. Farthing is in this movie. Of all the things I thought you could have said while we were watching this movie, you saying that you found Chevy Chase sexy was probably the most insane thing I heard.
Really?
I think back in the day when he was like Caddyshack and Fletch, but you having this epiphany watching this movie was just weird. It was just a weird thing.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I love to laugh. I love to laugh.
Sure. There you go.
I am at heart just like the biggest dork, truly.
Yeah.
And I think when I could be myself, I'm just like crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about the people that I tell you when we watch movies that I'm like, oh, they're sexy. Name a few of them that I have told you that I'm like, oh.
I mean, well, the only one that comes to mind, and I'm not going to fault you for it, is Jackie Chan. That's the one that I can think of.
But
are there a lot of other random ones?
Maybe I just haven't told you.
Well, let's
maybe
not.
Maybe we'll just wait. Yeah. Because I could name. There's some where I'm like, yeah, there. But I was looking at him, and I'm like, he really is a good-looking man. And I was going to ask you to look him up because I want to see a picture of him now.
Well, he's old.
Oh,
he's
I'd probably think he still looks great.
Well, good for you. You can do that after we're done recording. So then there are some cameos. There are some people who have some smaller roles in this. I don't know how much time we want to spend. There were definitely a few of these I absolutely forgot. So I'm going to start with the ones I did not forget. Don Rickles as Mr. Hamilton, the very mean theater owner. People who are younger than us might know him as the voice of Mr. Potato.
Yes.
From the Toy Story movies. Rebecca Romijn plays a bearded lady in the movie. Adam Sandler, uncredited as
Devil.
We eat the pig together, then we burn. That's him.
The thing he does with his eyes to make them just cross
it's
that looks a little like, I'm like, I don't want to look at you.
And then I think the last one that I totally remembered was Gary Coleman, kind of awkwardly as himself, A, with Satan, and then B, getting punched out by real former heavyweight champ Ken Norton. Now, the ones I forgot, John Goodman for like seven lines at the end as the mayor. He's in this. David Koechner as the car dealer owner.
Oh, my God.
That was when I saw him. I was like, they really did get some people before. Because this is like 6 years before
right.
Anchorman. Like, this is a ways before that. And then some smaller ones that I don't think you would know these people necessarily. One of the theater workers is Kevin Farley. That's Chris Farley's real brother.
Okay.
You
he
can
looked,
see the resemblance.
Yes.
Yeah. So Jim Downey plays one of the two homeless men. He's the homeless guy that gets fired. What's his
is he the one that has the lines?
Martin. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Now, anybody who runs deep with this crew of actors will recognize him from Billy Madison. He is the one who was basically leading the game show at the end when Billy Madison has to prove that he's smart enough to pass. He has one of the funniest monologues in comedy history, and I urge you to go seek it out if you haven't seen it. And then the other homeless...
Okay, you'll have to show it to me.
Oh, I will. And then Fred Wolf plays the other homeless man who is also one of the co-writers of the script.
Okay.
He's there. I was like, was that me? Oh, I farted from before. That was the fart
that
guy.
That guy. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah. Okay.
So no accolades, no awards, no bad ones, no good ones. That's just what it is. I don't have a worldwide, but anyway, so budget-wise, small comedy-ish. What do you think? This is so great. What do you think the budget was for this movie?
Well, it definitely wasn't $400 million.
It definitely was not $400
Here's
million.
Here's the thing. I'm really trying to think here, but I think comedians are thick as thieves, and they will support in any way they can. Like,
okay.
Like when I say true artists, I don't mean it like everybody else isn't, but I think they really, truly, like, come
well,
together,
and like
band
I said,
together.
A lot of those people were uncredited.
Well, and I'm learning, maybe.
Ah.
I feel like uncredited means they're coming and not necessarily collecting
okay.
a paycheck.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
This movie had to be under $20 million. That's like...
Okay.
Am I hitting? Okay.
I'm urging you to a decision.
Oh, I'm going to say $15
million. Wow. $13 million. You were close. $13 million was the budget. Now, that was the budget. Opening weekend.
Oh.
What do you think it made?
Oh. I was going to say I had to make more than that, but I feel like if we're doing the pod, it didn't make more than that. I'm going to say, wait, total or opening? No,
just
weekend?
Opening.
In U.S.
Yes,
or everywhere?
Yes, just opening in the U.S.
Like $9 million.
Three.
Ah.
$3 million. I don't have worldwide. So U.S. though. U.S. gross. At the end of its run, what did it make?
Okay. Opening. Like $13 million.
Ten.
Ah.
So it did not.
Okay.
It became a cult hit. It was the, and this is low. It was the 127th highest grossing film of 1998 between Air Bud Golden Receivers. So one of the sequels to Air Bud, and a Oscar bait movie that I think won best score called The Red Violin. I have not seen
Never.
Either of those movies.
I didn't know Air Bud made a sequel.
Actually, there are quite a few of the Air Buds.
Oh, wow.
You couldn't stop Air Bud from playing sports. Local authorities tried, but he just kept playing.
Wow.
So,
have you seen any of them?
I saw the first one, yes.
Okay, my mom took us to see the first one.
Yeah.
I remember I fell asleep because it was after school. She it was after school. She picked us up, and it was a surprise. And she was like, "We're going to the movies," and we were like, "Ah, yay!" We were excited, and it was Air Bud. That's what she bought tickets to. And
she was
just like, "It's a dog. There's a dog in it." You know, my mom, and I'm pretty sure she sat there and just like loved it. I ended up falling asleep. I
can't say I blame you. Can't say I blame
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So
the only other time, believe it or not, she. Did that, picked us up from school and was like, let's go to the movies. It was one of the Lord of the Rings, and I also fell asleep.
Well, I don't blame you there
either.
And
it was an amazing nap because I slept
well,
through the entire thing. And
there
they're
all
go. Very long.
I do miss our yearly tradition in grad school where we would fall asleep trying to watch the Hobbit trilogy. That was a great. Christmas Day, we'd go see a double feature, and then Christmas Eve, we'd fall asleep watching one of the Hobbit movies.
That's just what we did to prep for our double feature.
Exactly.
We were like,
exactly.
We need to go to bed early. Turn on Hobbit.
It was hard to find a full review, but I will something from the San Francisco Chronicle. They said the Norm Macdonald movie Dirty Work, which opened yesterday, is a stupid, low down, vulgar comedy. I can't really recommend it to people except people who like stupid, low down, vulgar comedy. I know that person can go fuck themselves. Yeah. That's what I don't
that
have the name.
That person has never laughed in their life.
Exactly. They like The Hobbit. That's what they like.
Yeah.
That fucker. Okay. So now it's the time of the show.
I wonder if this person wrote something about The Hobbit.
Ooh.
If we wanted to deep dive, don't do it now. don't do if it. You think that's not me asking you to do it.
No. I know. I was just saying, if you think the typing that I was just doing was looking up to see if the person who wrote that review who wrote The Hobbit, you are sorely mistaken. Do I need to get more?
Yeah.
You bitch.
It's a great way to pause. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Adam. And I'm a boring man who likes boring movies. I'm so thankful my wife is here and keeps me happy.
That's going to be funny to hear. Should I keep any of it?
You probably will. I guarantee you, you will. But I hope you don't.
It's like you've given me carte blanche. Like, you are allowed to say, don't keep this in the episode. Okay. Well, now we get to the point of the show where Melissa tries to guess.
Oh, my God.
Critical and audience.
The way you said that, it sounded exactly like my impression of you.
Oh, great. Well. That'll be fun to listen to.
Just this the is, tone. Just this the is, tone.
Well.
Try it again.
Now it's the time. Now it's the part of the show where most tries to guess the critical and audience Rotten Tomatoes scores. No blurb. Unfortunately, no blurb to help you out here.
Okay.
So critical and then audience, please.
Okay. When in doubt, critical. I went with my lucky number, 17.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Audience. I think it's a little higher. I don't think it's really high. Like, I probably would put this in, like, the 70s.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, like, high 60s, so I said 68.
Wow. Okay. We're coming around. Melissa, we're coming around. You said 17.
17 and 68.
Unfortunately, 14, but still close.
Oh.
Still close. You said 68?
Yeah.
66? Yes. You were close. You were close there.
I know my style. I know my kind of movies.
You were doing pretty good.
Wow.
You were doing pretty good. The only piece of trivia I wanted to launch into here before we get into talk about the movie, and I think I knew this. I think I had looked this up. But so Norm Macdonald was on SNL for a while. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
He was the Weekend Update guy for a while on SNL.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to read this just verbatim. It says, the movie came out a few months after Norm Macdonald was fired as the Weekend Update anchor on SNL by NBC West Coast president Don Olmeyer. Because of this, Macdonald blasted the NBC exec during talk show appearances. Olmeyer retaliated by banning all advertisements of this movie on NBC. After 2 weeks, NBC president Bob Wright called off the ban. Wright did not oppose Olmeyer's original decision because he thought the commercials were only scheduled to appear during SNL. When it became clear that MGM's commercials were dropped from other NBC shows, Wright decided he'd gone too far and lifted the ban. But McDonald did not hold back from being upset that he was fired from the show. And I think that goes into what we're going to talk about later with his cadence, his delivery, his comedic style. He is not like a Jerry Seinfeld-esque comedian. His cadence, his rhythm, his delivery, it is not for everyone.
No. And I think you showed me I've never watched a full one of his stand-ups.
His stand-ups?
But you've shown me a few, like, segments. And the first few times you've shown me them, I was just like, you're laughing so hard, you're, like, crying. And I'm just like, what? But I had to, like, learn his style, mm-hmm. I feel like. You know what I mean? But this movie just catered to, like, I don't know. I just felt like he was cast for the right spot. He said the things perfectly. It was just, and his co-stars, like his cast, just support it. Like, they all really made everybody shine. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed this movie.
And Norm had a kind of a talk show comedy show on Netflix. So, and a couple of comedy specials as well. So he's got a bunch on there. But before we launch into it really quick, yes, he was from Quebec City. So he is from Canada. We definitely noticed some sayings that was...
Some sorry.
Sorry.
I was like, he's got to be Canadian.
Yes, and he certainly is. So how to sum up this movie? So Mitch is kind of he's got no plan. He has no idea what he's doing. He's gone through... to quote the movies here, 14 jobs in 3 months.
3 months.
That's a hell of a streak there. So he's lost his job. He's lost his girlfriend, and he doesn't know what to do. So he goes to stay with his best friend and his dad. We find out a bunch of things in a short period of time. Basically, we find out that his best friend's dad is also his dad, and he starts to like this girl. But they need to get they need to earn $50,000 because his dad and Sam's dad needs a heart transplant. And Chevy Chase owes money to bookies, but he'll bump Pops' name up the list for a heart transplant if they can get him the money. So all of this is happening. They decide that their jobs aren't going to work, so they find that they're really good at doing dirty work. So they start doing that. They get to Travis Cole, the Christopher McDonald character, and they get in a little too deep. But ultimately, the last scheme that they do kind of ties everything back together. There is a plot. I mean, it's a silly, dumb movie, but there is a plot. There are reasons why the people do the silly things that they do.
Yeah.
So we've just got them watching Dirty Work. We're talking about it. What is the thing that sticks with you the most? What's the first thing that you want to throw out about the movie?
How it starts.
When he's a kid?
First of all, I was in the middle of writing my first note where it starts with them as kids.
Yes. And hand over the milk money, Weaver.
Oh, my God. My first note was going to be like, oh, it's so like... I do love it when they start movies out as them as little kids because the little kid actors are just like 9 times out of 10, just super cute. You know, that one time it's not, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, but, nobody likes that movie.
But no, I'm getting ready to be like, already love it. Like, this is cute. And then the kid gets chucked into a dumpster and it was just this like doll, clearly the stuffed doll that just gets thrown and hit. But like,
The line that precedes it is, I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm not sure you'll spend it on milk. And then he gets thrown to the dumpster. It's so great.
But that, the opening to this and how they set it up and how just like smooth these kids are at getting back. And it's so blunt too. The writing is just so like, it doesn't match that these are little kids.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, wait, don't be saying, a little kid shouldn't be.
Now, we should say, And we said this a little bit with Hook. We mentioned this with the big kid and kind of being the blunt, the horrible end of some fat jokes in that movie. Right here at the top of this movie, we're getting guns in school, we're getting grown men touching little people's butts, and we're getting kids taking pictures of babysitters on the toilet. So we are immediately thrown into the world of, is this funny? Like, and I don't want to use the word woke, but we're seeing this in a totally different point of view. And again, I think the intention behind the ridiculousness of it is it, like they're leaning into that. So
right.
if you don't find it funny in like the first 5 minutes, then it's not for you.
Right. And I think that's stand-up though, because there's been stand-ups, but it's how people deliver it.
Sure.
Or how, maybe not even how people deliver it, because there have been stand-ups where you and I have watched it and you're laughing and I'm just like, no.
Sure.
This isn't funny at all. Yeah. And it's like, because the content. But like, that's, I mean, I don't even know how to say this right, but like, that's comedy. It's taking the truth, really, or, you know, what we need to be talking about and like flipping it in like in a different perspective and almost making you feel uncomfortable about it. But in a, am I even saying this right? Like,
that, well, I mean, I, at the seed of that is that comedy is subjective. There is not one thing that somebody would say that everybody is going to find funny.
Right.
Right. But it's just not going to be.
I don't know. I guess this was fine with me because what was the comment when the crossing guard? It was something about like the crossing guard.
Oh, who like likes no, to touch no, butt, nobody was touch looking butt. For it back in those days.
Yeah. Nobody was.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
so that would have been like the 70s or something.
That is kind of true. Like, it wasn't as prevalent as it is now. Well,
at least it talked about her. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But oh my God, what a way to catch him.
The super glue, yeah.
The super glue.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Crossing guard touching 8-year-old's ass over here.
But this little boy who plays him is saying, like, everything in a way that, like, Norm MacDonald says it. Like, he's really trying not to, like, overemphasize a certain word. Like, he's trying to say it all the same way. And, like,
yeah.
I just thought it was so cute. But, yeah, the opening, I was in. The opening, I was like, I get what kind of movie this is going to be. And it reminded me a lot of how I felt watching, oh, my gosh, the one we did with Perry. Why am I forgetting it?
Oh, Mr. Woodcock.
Mr. Woodcock.
Because the opening of that is hilarious.
Yes, and it's just kind of like, if you don't like that, you're not going to like the rest of this movie. And you just have to be.
I so forgot about that movie. That's great. Mr. Woodcock is such a dick in that first scene.
But that, I definitely was like, I'm going to be okay watching this, I think.
I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to be just fine.
and then we meet him as an adult, the 30 minutes or less free with the pizza thing. I don't know if you clocked what he's trying to, like, and then he called you a bunch of sweaty Italian fruits, and then he goes, oh, then he said some really mean things about that Mussolini guy, which is just so great, because it just shows the ignorance of Mitch, like, not knowing who that is. I early on, I gotta say, killer soundtrack. We get Third Eye Blind, we get Semi-Charmed Life right there.
Yeah.
Hell
when
yeah.
When was this made?
98.
98, okay.
Yeah. So there's and there's also just some more recognizable bands. Green Day is in here too later on. But good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Killer. Just nice beats.
A lot of it reminded me of what my oldest sister used to listen to, like, way back in the, like, I was kind of like, I don't know who this is, but my
but
sister
you've certainly heard it before.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So as our resident Mad TV fan over here, nice to see Artie Lang in the movie. Or
yes.
How do you feel about him?
I was totally, yeah.
To me, it's so funny.
Is there something?
No,
like,
no, not that okay. I know. Not that I know. I just mean, I always thought of him because of when Mad TV, like, Mad TV wasn't a thing until way after SNL. And Chris Farley had been big for a while. So I always thought of Artie Lang and Will Sasso as just low rent Chris Farley's. Like they can never be Chris Farley. And then the more that I've kind of thought about it, Will Sasso tried to be Chris Farley. It didn't work. But Artie Lang was always more of a, like, a low rent character, like, more of a, like, this guy's kind of a scumbag in things, which I think that was the right avenue for him, honestly.
Well, it's funny because talk about different generations, you and I. Like, I just grew up watching MTV, Mad TV. And so all those people are very, like, iconic to me.
Oh,
and when you talk
God.
About, like, the Chris Farleys and, you know,
Norm MacDonald, yeah, people on SNL.
I'm like, oh, wow. No. Like, I just didn't know them. No.
I love that we were born in the same calendar year, and yet we're different generations. That's great. That's great. Because you're a boomer, actually. I don't know if you knew this. You are a boomer.
In some ways, but not.
so we have Artie Lang. So what did you think about now? Now my mom had some of these, so I wanted to. What did you think about the aerobic videos?
Okay, I've never seen an aerobic video like that before, but I know that they're out there.
Because you're a boomer.
Yes. But watching his dad sit there and, like, watch it like it's just the best porn he's seen. Like, truly, did, like, women do that? Were they like, get with your bestie? And
I think that there were, I mean, who was the, oh God, I'm never going to remember. This was where I'm going to try to pull a name that I can't. But, like, there those. But, like, 30-minute workout videos from, like, the late 80s, early 90s.
There,
like,
was
those
one woman with blonde hair, and I can't remember her name. This is going to...
Well, not Suzanne Summers.
No,
but, like,
there was another
but, yeah,
one.
But
my mom had so many of hers. And now I want to remember...
It was a real thing. And so, yeah, but, yeah, I think that those were real. Like, oh, I'm never going to be able to find it. But the workout tape they used was a real workout tape.
Oh,
it wasn't like something they shot for the movie. That was a real thing that existed. And we meet Pops. We meet Jack Warden. We see that he is apparently a subscriber to Impotent Old Men and Whores.
Oh, my God. What kind of magazine is that?
I don't know.
Wait, impotent? I thought it said important.
No, impotent. Like your dick doesn't work.
Oh my God.
You wrote important?
I wrote important old men in Horrors magazine. And I was like, I wonder who's in that. Important old men?
That's amazing. Oh my God. Yeah, I will say that if you don't like the word whore or prostitute, this movie is not going to be for you. Because they say it a lot. They say those words a lot in the movie.
This movie doesn't age well. Like,
no.
But it made me really think, like, does any funny movie or like stand up 10 years from now actually age well?
Well, no. I mean, and think about like if you look at a lot of like Eddie Murphy stuff from the 80s, that shit's not going to fly. I mean, Don Rickles is a comedy legend. He's in there for like, but he has one particular line. Well, I'm not going to try to imitate, but like that is.
Well, we were laughing and then all of a sudden he did the sound. He said that
and then it was like,
we just stopped.
Yeah, we did. We
sure
did.
I don't even think we looked at each other because it was like.
I don't think we could. I think we would have had to stop the moon. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But no, but we, that one registered pretty quick.
Yeah. Too far, Don.
Yeah, too far, Don. So
I did like though the dad where he's like, they didn't have fancy birth control methods like pulling out. I just love that. I just love that line.
That was a good one. That was a good one. So
that probably is my like favorite line. Perfect. I have to say,
like pulling out. So we're at the bar. We meet Chris Farley. We realize he has half a nose. Artie Lang goes to hit on a girl who's clearly way above his level. This is one of my favorite funny lines of the movies. He's trying to talk to me. He goes, I live with my dad, which is so great. And then they get into a fight with these frat guys, which is ridiculous. It's kind of a funny. I love the, like, oh, yeah. Rolling Stone, street fight, G7. He's like, you just hit G8. And then Pina Colada starts playing. It's very, very funny. Mitch gets thrown through a plate glass window. The amount of times you gasped
was great. Well, because it was him. He was his own stunt.
Maybe. I think there was probably some stunt guys throughout parts of it.
Oh,
the
my God.
The glass one, I think, was probably somebody else. But
the, and how many times he fell onto concrete and they just... I'm sorry. I started keeping track. I was like, dumpster, ground, thrown through window, ground, done. Like, I just couldn't. He was thrown through so many things.
Now,
I did have to say, though, so we're seeing all these, you know, oh, I know him. Of course he's in this movie.
Like, oh, Farley?
Skeeter. Oh, whatever Scooter, his name
Skeeter.
Is.
Scooter McGavin. Christopher McDonald is his name.
There's,
but you said it right when we were watching it. Like, he can really only do
one, but it's just not even acting.
We mentioned that on the Skulls episode.
I know, but I'm. It's like I see him in these movies, and I'm like,
he's Pervy McGavin. That's what it is.
Anyway, sorry.
so they get the shit kicked out of him by these frat guys. And so what do you think, like, and I, this is kind of a loaded question, but what did you think of the bit where they pretend to be cops and they do the prank on the frat guys?
I thought that was funny.
I thought, well, funny, and also, like, given their, you know, they're pretty idiotic early on in the movie.
But smart.
You know, oh, there's these cops going on, but they're not real cops. They're fake cops. And I love it. Real cops? I'd like to issue a complaint.
Yes.
I thought it was great. I thought that was very funny.
So, dirty work. You say dirty work to me.
Oh, I totally, wait, hold on. I can't believe I didn't say this. Dirty Work is based on a short story by Roald Dahl called Vengeance Is Mine, Inc. A Roald Dahl who did the BFG.
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyways. Based off of the short story. God. Obviously, they changed quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I just...
They put their spin on it. You tell me the movie, like, Dirty Work. I don't even know if I knew who was in it, but you were like a comedy. And I'm thinking, this is going to be about guys that do, like, like probably the grossest jobs that we don't even think are jobs, but somebody has to do it.
What was like, that? There was a show.
There was a show.
What was that show called?
It was Dirty Jobs.
Was it just called Dirty Job? Okay, wait a minute.
Was it called Dirty
Work?
You keep
talking. I'm going to look this up.
I do remember, actually, it was the guy that there was a Mexican restaurant in
Bellingham. Yeah.
And Perry told us about it, that like,
Dirty Jobs.
This guy came there, and one of the jobs was cleaning out the grease pit.
Yeah.
Which sounds nasty, but they did have good food. But anyways, that's kind of what I just thought, like what it was. It very, I just thought it was such a smart. So you see these two guys, they're trying to get jobs where they can earn money to get heart surgery. So it's like the first job that they do is construction. They lied. They don't know construction.
Yep.
They get fired instantly. Then they're like clinical testing.
Oof.
That didn't go well.
That's where we see Satan. Yes. Yep.
And then they were like movie ushers. And then this is where they get the idea of screwing over employers. But really it was
with the best movie ever, Men in Black, who like to have sex with each other.
Yes. Their idea for Dirty Work is revenge for hire business.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I felt stupid, but I'm like, Dirty Work. They're doing the dirty work.
Yeah.
Clearly. But I was like, what a smart business, truly. Because every human could be like, I wish I could hire somebody to do this for some. Like, I think everybody has that moment or that boss or that company, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, their ways of revenge and how they were going to do it was very smart.
Yes. Well, and also some of them are very ridiculous, which we will get
to. And outrageous and, yeah, over the top.
Prior to that, so Pops has the heart attack, and we meet Chevy Chase. That's what we find out about the bookies and stuff, and that he owes. He apparently bet money against Rocky in Rocky III, which made me chuckle. A guy gets pissed on quite a lot off of a roof. He is soaking wet. The movie theater goes bad, and then they decide the revenge for hire thing. I love when Mitch sees Kathy, he's just going, hey, Mildred. He's like, actually, my name is Kathy. Oh, no, I didn't know. You didn't tell me, so I just guessed.
I thought that was so funny, but also, like, talk about intriguing or just kind of I would have been thrown off, but if somebody came up, like, I met at a bar and we kind of talked and then
I can't. Hey, let's talk about this. This is a good story.
And then later saw him on a street. And that if I said, oh, no, you forgot my name. My name is Melissa. And he was like, oh, no, you didn't tell me. So I just guessed. I probably would have stopped and been like, in my head, I would have been like, what the fuck? But also I would have been like, what a smooth kind of way to get me to just.
Interesting.
Talk to you.
I don't know. I'm so glad that this is a hypothetical because. I'm going to be gone for like 7 weeks soon. I'm like, is this what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, with my two kids that I'm watching alone.
Listen, like, are you going to be watching them? I'm not going to. So we meet David Koechner, the shitty boss, and we do the whole, again, sorry in advance, the dead prostitutes in the car bit. By the way, now, a live TV commercial, were these real things?
I don't think so, but
I have never, I truly have never heard of this before in my life.
No, I don't think so.
What a gamble! What a gamble!
Ballsy.
I mean, because when do you think, like, because you can never account for dead prostitutes in the car in the trunk. I mean, that's a his business is ruined. Actually, it was. He had to sell the company.
He did.
Yeah. Too bad.
Oh my god.
Too bad.
Okay, I don't mean to cut you off.
No,
but
please
this
do.
This movie, one of my notes was, this movie is a lot like the movie Step Brothers. And like, you have two best friends. Not that Step Brothers was like this, but let me get there. Hold on.
Okay, I'm here.
You have two best friends that grew up together you know, they do everything together. They're like brothers, but they're not.
They actually, they're half brothers in this movie.
Sorry. We don't know this
yet. Okay.
Then you find out that they have the same dad, and then the one brother is like, I never want to talk to you again, and like, and pretends like he's going to be, okay. Now that I'm actually saying this out loud, there's not a whole lot in common other than in Step Brothers, you have two boys that didn't even know each other growing up, actually. And their parents at an old age marry, so then they have to live together. But in the short amount of time that they lived together, they were like little kids, but they weren't really.
It's like, did we become best friends? Yep. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Do you kind of see where I'm getting? And then they didn't like each other.
Where are you actually? Wait, where are you?
That's it.
That was it? Oh, no. Okay. I'm sorry. I got it. That's a technical foul. One more of those and you're ejected from
the
pod.
How about this? Like Step Brothers.
Please pull this through.
There were a lot of comedians. Okay. And yes. They did a great job. And like Step Brothers, I like that movie. And I like this movie.
You pulled it through.
There we
go. You pulled it together. So we get a vicious.
Another movie that this reminded me of.
Yes.
The Little Mermaid. I'm just kidding. Your face. I was going to try to make that.
Little Mermaid and Dirty Work both have vicious ball grabs in it. This is totally, totally.
That ball grab. I don't have balls.
No. You.
But my balls hurt. I have hurt balls after watching that.
Now, so we. This is Pops grabs Mitch's balls because he's like, I'm going to tell him. And he's like, no, don't. And then right after that is when we see that Dr. Farthing has broken his arm because the bookies are yes. after him. And I clocked this. This is when you said, this was the moment you said, I think Chevy Chase is sexy.
Really?
was the moment. And I'm still so befuddled by this.
If you look at his face, he didn't have that many wrinkles. He has these cute little like freckles right here.
Okay.
But, like, he just has such a, like, distinguished-looking face.
Okay.
And he's really funny.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't argue the funny thing. Listen, I am not trying to make you feel bad.
You're not making me feel bad.
I was just very surprised by it.
I think you're jealous.
Okay. Well, I am a little bit. There was something. So now I'm competing with Jackie Chan and Chevy Chase? This fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to lose.
Well.
Fucking.
Just
fuck this.
Pray to God I don't ever have like meet them.
Even now? Well, Jackie Chan I could get. Jackie Chan you would leave me for in a heartbeat. Yeah. Chevy Chase now? I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think
let's
so.
Let's see a picture. We'll
God
see.
God damn it. All right. So then we meet Kathy's pissed because she gets fired. We meet the guy who runs a carnival. They fuck over the bearded lady, they shave her face. That's all happening. This is when Travis Cole comes into play because they're going to level this house. So they do the popcorn and the tractor bit.
Which we've saw before.
Yes. And then the popcorn trail leads them right back.
Oh my gosh.
I totally forgot what it was.
The popcorn trail led them right back to dirty work. Mm-hmm. I was like, how did those police officers figure it out?
Now
I get it.
I skipped over. Now, we don't have like a scene of the movie. Like that's not like a category that we do. But like the funniest part of this movie to me. Hands down, is when the guy's like, I have these neighbors, they're loud all the time, I can't handle it.
Oh, yeah.
And they go to put the fish all over the house, and they have to hide. And there's an epic shootout that we never see. We just hear them exclaiming things like, oh, my God, he's got a chainsaw.
And the camera,
is that a hand grenade?
The camera does not move from these two. Just brilliant.
I was in stitches. I just find it so goddamn funny.
It's so funny.
I love that even when it's over, Artie Lang is still trying to hide fish. It's amazing. But then we get to now. This was a part where they had to cut a lot of it out. So they get arrested, they go to jail, and there's a lot of insinuation about people. Sorry, spoiler content warning, I don't know, a lot about men basically being raped by other men in prison. Like that's
you
that's
could have just said dropping the soap.
Okay, sorry. Well, I bring it up because a line that got cut. So there's the whole scene that happens where Norm MacDonald gets pulled away. They push back Artie Lang and then Norm MacDonald comes back and he's zipping up his pants. Like, ridiculous. You know what I don't like? It's a lack of respect. And the other thing that hurts the most, but the lack of respect that hurts the second most. Apparently, what he said was not the other thing. Apparently, he explicitly said, "Well, the anal rape. That's what hurts the most."
Oh God!
But that was one of the things that got shifted. So I wasn't saying it to be crude. I brought it up because that's literally what they said, and then they cut it out.
I'm surprised we haven't talked about the. Bob Saget,
Dirty Man.
Only knew him as Danny Tanner.
Danny Tanner.
Just like the sweetest, caring.
The fact that we still know his name by heart.
Oh my God.
Right?
Best dad ever. Like just.
No, wait, hold on. Can
wake
I?
Wake up, San Diego.
Hold on. It was San Francisco.
Whatever. I'm getting the whale's vagina. And no. What is it, Anchorman?
Okay. So it was Danny Tanner. We had Uncle Jesse. What was Jesse's last name?
Hold on.
He was Greek. Remember, that was a big thing.
Gustopoulos?
Kostopoulos.
Kostopoulos.
Yes. And then do you remember Joey's last name?
Oh, Joey. Oh, my God. What was the chipmunk?
I don't remember. I don't remember at all.
Joey Gladstone.
Oh, look at the fact that we still know that. Yep. That's how important Full House and TGIF was back when we were kids.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
The show, okay, it was Full House and then don't tell me it wasn't Boy Meets World. I don't think that was a part of it.
That was a part of TGIF.
Was it?
Uh-huh. It wasn't in the original lineup.
Step by Step.
That was another one.
Yep. And then was Sister Sister?
No, that wasn't even ABC.
Oh, no, another one, Family Matters.
Yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah.
That was Family Matters and Full House were like, that was it for a long time.
Yeah.
And then
Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Okay, anyways. So, because next you're going to go on to Xena and that's going to be a whole fucking thing.
Wasn't a Hercules
fan, can't fucking do it. Sorry, Bob Saget, Dirty Man. I totally derailed you.
Well, you showed me.
The Aristocrats.
The Aristocrats.
I sure did.
And that was hard to watch.
Do you know what I think was the hardest part of that?
Parts of my soul was broken as an adult watching this because I was like, oh my God, this is.
It was one thing to hear him do it, but it was everybody was like, who's the dirtiest comic you know? Oh, it's Bob Saget. Like, everybody said Bob Saget.
Oh, my God. That was just so, like, but you know what's really funny? Because I know I've said this before, but we grew up watching Whose Line Is It Anyway?
And uh-huh.
Working with Ryan Stiles, and like, I mean, sweetest man ever. But, yeah, he can make a joke just so
well
uncomfortable and dirty but because like you have this impression of like it's who's and then you hear something it's just like Danny Tanner it's like wait but you hear that it's almost like it's just I don't even know how to say it it's almost like you're
your world is upside down
because you're like wait a second you just said what.
I think the Aristocrats thing must have been around the same time that Comedy Central did the roast of Bob Saget, because both like to me those are linked in like I didn't realize that this guy was like this like was
right,
was such but, a dirty comic.
Oh my God, but so loved, like obviously loved.
Yeah, for
but
sure,
yeah,
for sure.
Just hearing people just be like, he's definitely not Danny Tanner. Like, if you only know him as Danny Tanner, you don't know him. But it's like the entire world only knows him as Danny Tanner.
And this time for comedic movies, I mean, it's around the same time that, and a movie I only just saw for the first time a couple months ago, Half-Baked, which was a Dave Chappelle movie. Bob Saget is in it for like a hot second as a recovering coke addict, and they're making fun of Dave Chappelle because he's addicted to marijuana, and like, that's what you're here for? And Bob Saget's in it for like a hot second. It's like, yeah, well, have you ever had to suck dick for coke? Yeah, then you don't have an addiction. And like, that's the whole bit. Like, he's in it for that. That's his line. That's all he says. And then he goes,
oh Bob Saget. Oh my God.
And we saw him on Broadway.
Yes, we did.
We saw him in Hand of God. He played the preacher.
So good.
That was very funny.
Anyways.
So we're basically to the point now in the movie where they're trying to get the building condemned because they think they're going to get the $50,000. They spray paint. They do cherry bombs. They put the fish. The fish come back.
Oh, my God.
And they condemn the building. A successful
it works,
job.
Yes.
Except that douchebag Shooter McGavin, Travis Cole, doesn't own the building. It was a big scam.
Yeah.
And so now, well, what now? What are they going to do? You know, that's like, that's no good. Another one of my favorite lines is when they go back to check in with Pops because they're not going to get the money. And we see now that Chevy Chase has a broken foot.
Oh, my God.
Well, no. And he goes,
yes.
The line is something like, you know what I don't understand about bookies? You know, you owe them $50,000. So then they blow your toe off. And then you still owe them $50,000. Doesn't seem fair. And he's so nonchalant about
yes.
it. It's so fucking funny. And then one thing we haven't mentioned at all. I actually would love to hear your opinion on this. There's a recurring bit that starts when he's young, the Mitch character, the note to self.
Yes.
Were any of these funny to you?
I started writing all the note to selves down because I was like, this is going to be it's going to build to something. And it did. It started out as like,
remember,
note to self. Remember Aunt Jenny. Aunt Jenny is your aunt, you know. And then note to self, learn to fight. Note to self, Sam looked at the screen. Which is the first one I laughed because of the Men in Black movie.
Who liked to have such a
And then it was like, note to self, no matter how bad life gets, there's always beer. You know, it started, but then I stopped writing the note to self. I think the last one I wrote was like, note to self, making love to a blow up doll,
not as good as
advertised. And like,
the last one is actually, note to self, remember to get wart cream for giant wart on my ass.
But there were a few times where like, well, the tape recorder comes back.
Yes. Well,
so he carries a tape recorder, which is the reason why I get.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, these note to selves, are they just supposed to be like little? Maybe it's not building to anything, is what I thought, and that's why I stopped writing it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think they're just supposed to be these like funny one time lines, but it comes back because he takes this tape recorder out to say note to self, note to self. Well, he leaves it on, and so that's where you hear.
Shooter McGavin
say, you know, what he's...
I told you I did, but I lied. Good luck trying to prove it.
And so he's like, oh, yeah, I recorded it. And so when they're playing that tape, a few more, like, note to selves come that are funny. And I think, I'm like, that's all it was. Like, it really was just get... It was there so they could have a actual plot. Because they couldn't just, like, have a tape recorder appear in his...
Yeah,
you
sure.
know?
Yeah.
So at first I was like, okay, this is going to be great. And then I kind of was like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but I get it. And I probably would have liked hearing a few more note to selves. And I feel like those note to selves, I feel like that's where they could have like done some pretty like, oh, like right on the line, like one liners or something.
And maybe even over the line. I mean,
right.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
And so we find out that they've been duped, and then the whole thing culminates with this big scheme, this big prank they're going to do at a production of Don Giovanni. That's where all of the people who lost their homes in the condemned building, the homeless people, the prostitutes that we've seen earlier in the movie. They're
the
all coming
people,
back.
Yep. Yeah.
They're all coming back. Pops is involved. He makes
an
appearance.
He's the star of the show.
Of Don Giovanni. I will say the theater critic being like, they're putting skunks in the building to heighten the tension. Brilliant.
I would have loved if that was an actual or like if they got
oh my God, that would have been great.
Who do we always talk about?
Ebert?
Yeah.
That would have been funny. Or like Ben Brantley from the New York Times. So anyway, and everything's going on. But like, this is where the well-made structure, right? Oh, we have the proof. So you got to sign back the deed back to the guy and you're going to write the check for $50,000 and the guy can do that. It's all wrapped up fairly nicely. Except that the actual end of the movie is not wrapped up very nicely. In fact, what this movie is missing, what this movie needs, is an ending. And I get that it's funny. It's like, that's it. Bye. And then the movie is over. What'd I do?
No, I honestly was like, this is how this movie needs to end. There doesn't need to be.
This is coming from you.
Yeah. He won. That's great. We don't need like 5 minutes of him just like.
Did you catch the note about the doctor too at the end there?
What?
He's like, and Dr. Farthing got over his gambling addiction.
And died.
But they killed him anyway. That's
sad.
It. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Bye.
It was really, but I don't know. I just was like, that's what this movie needed. It started off with like a, let's just bulldoze right into this. We're going to really quickly tell you how he grew up. And let's just, well, it ended. Like, I don't know. I just kind of thought that just fit.
So then what did you have? What was your thing that you think that the movie needed or was missing?
Well, I discovered something.
Oh.
I think every movie needs Chevy Chase.
Interesting. Okay, so this isn't what this movie was missing, but it's what every movie is missing.
Every other movie is missing. I think they just need a scene of like, yeah, him just popping in. Or Adam Sandler. I don't know why. I did, although it was disturbing with his eyes, it's just like having them just pop in for something. Just, yeah.
Oh, shit. You know what's funny is Waterboy is not too far from this time. And it's like, he's almost working on the voice for it. He's not quite there, but he's close with the with the Waterboy voice. That's good. I like that answer. And then Savior. This movie to me, it's pretty well. So I guess I don't want to phrase it as savior. My question for you would be: is who stood out the most in this movie to you? Now, Norm MacDonald is fine if you want to put it that way, but like then if the answer is Norm, then who's the second person? But who was the supporting person that when they popped up, you were like yes? And I feel like I know your answer. Is it
Chevy Chase?
Chevy Chase.
Yeah, I just yes. I think it was him. He was great.
When I'll be honest, like when I know it's only one scene, but would they get Don Rickles to come in for a scene to just do his Don Rickles thing? That was amazing. Like that's so great.
Well, and you know, again, it's like movies like this when you have just to see the bloopers. You can make an entire movie just off the bloopers of this. And we see one blooper of Don Rickles where he says, like, I don't know how you got cast in this movie. And he's like doing that and I'm just like, he didn't have lines. They probably just let him riff. And it would just to be on set with people that are that talented to just be able to improv. I would love that. That probably would be my dream job, would be like I don't want to say what is like the worst position you can have on set, but an errand girl.
Oh, like it's a PA. You're a production
PA,
assistant.
I would totally be a PA. Just to be on set to hear some of these things I would love.
Two things about Don Rickles. So there was somebody else in consideration for that role who would have fit but differently. Another old comedian, Rodney Dangerfield, was considered for the role of the theater owner. Give me a look. You don't know who that is.
Mm-mm.
Well, listen, we'll address that after this because that's going to take too much time.
Dangerfield sounds familiar.
He's also in Caddyshack. He's like, hey, what do I do?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He played a voice.
No respect at all. He's Simpsons. He's an episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, my God.
He's Mr. Burns' son.
That's.
Yeah.
That's how I know him. But
apparently, this is Bob Saget got into trouble with MGM after spending a week's worth of the budget on just shooting a day's worth of Don Rickles riffing. So, oops.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just wanted to look that up really quick because I knew that was in there. Anything else, babe? Anything else that you want to mention with Dirty Work?
Well, yes, actually.
Great.
One thing, I don't know, I just heard it and I was like, I can relate. And it was, they said a drained knee. Somebody drained their knee.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, when did that come up?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Chris Farley is describing his roommate at the Y.
Oh my God. And
He looks at me when I sleep.
Anyways, I just was like, ooh, yeah, drained knee. Adam knows what I'm talking about. I had to have my knee drained.
Yes.
And it's not. It wasn't fun nor pleasant to
I didn't like
do or watch.
I like when I think of liquids that are inside of us, like I think of like their blood. It's red. Like what else what other and so when they put that thick needle into your knee.
Oh, it was a like
it looked like beer. It was like an ambery I was like, what the fuck is wrong with your knee? and like 15 years later, we're still wondering the same thing.
Yes, we are. There are sometimes, you know, when you get those flights of beer and I like all you and I are a perfect pair because when you get a flight of beer, Adam sticks to the lighter side. I like the darker beers.
I give you the porter. I don't like porters.
There's always that one beer right in the middle where we're just like, ugh. Like,
are we sure it's beer?
Yeah, I think like we don't ever say anything, but we just there's like a moment where we're like, because what? There's usually like 5 to 6.
Six or like between 7. 6 and 8. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It's a,
it runs the
odd,
gamut. Yeah.
And it's always that one that's like right in the middle. And we're like, I don't, you could have it. And you're like, no, you can have it. And it's like, well, maybe none of us have it. Like, just to be fair. Like,
and then usually I have it, but
and then I think after you drink it, I'm like, so didn't that look like the fluid that came out of my knee? Sorry.
Joy.
And there you go. We've had it. And that's our pod. So enjoy. I was trying to end it.
Wow. Like yeah. You sure? Oh, that's it. Bye.
End it right on the.
Well, we do have to ask the one question, though, which is, Melissa, do you think that Dirty Work is a good, bad movie or a bad, bad movie?
Oh, this is a good movie. This is a good. It's a good, fun movie. There are moments that don't age well, and that's fine, and you can have an issue with it, and you could be mad that we laughed at certain things, but like the people that put their time and energy into this movie, it left an imprint, and it makes people smile, and I think that is just...
It's funny.
People need that.
I mean, I agree. I agree with everything that you said. But this is one of those movies where it's tough. And there's been a few of these for both of us where it's like, am I just seeing this through rose-tinted glasses? And like, it's just nostalgic and it's actually pretty shitty. But nah, I really liked it. I laughed my ass off multiple times. And you know, it's a nice, like, three of the main people in this movie are dead. One of them died before it even came out. And so it is a fun little thing to see people involved with this movie. And you were talking about the comedians. It feels like a passion project. People were helping when they could and how they could. And
it is like, I'm not trying to get into it or start anything, but it is very like fine line on what is considered like okay and fun and what has gone too far. But when you look at this entire movie and like the people that were a part of it, like I do truly feel like these people, and they're comedians, that's what they are. They have so many like telecasts and like
comedy specials
and things like that out there. So it's like you can see what they have done, but nothing seemed ill will or I'm really trying to target a certain audience. It was just like,
for sure,
you know, so it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. It's not a movie that I'm going to be like, this is the best movie. I'm going to see it all the time. But it's definitely like,
sure,
it was enjoyable and fun and introduced me to just kind of certain people. Like, I knew who Norm MacDonald was. But this was like a different side of him that I saw that I think I was like,
well, and
I get it. Like, it works. Norm
never gets to be the lead. Like, this is really his thing that he got to do for sure. Well, that's what we think about Dirty Work. So, but we'd love to know what you think. So find us on Facebook and on Instagram or Facebook. Find us on Twitter and Instagram and let us know what you think. You can listen to us in all the places where there are podcasts. And so we went through Assassin's Creed. We did Hook. We did Dirty Work, and there's only one left of these four. Now we can tell you that the next film that we are going to cover might have aged worse than this. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen it, and you haven't.
I've never seen it.
And we are going to talk about the John Travolta military crime film called The
Nothing.
General's...
I'm just kidding. I was trying to end it again.
Wow. We're going to be talking about The General's Daughter. Pretty big cast. I'll be curious to hear both of our thoughts when we
get
to the
end. It's about a general
and
his daughter.
Yeah, his daughter. Something happens to her, and they have to investigate what happened. Well, the daughter.
Or him.
Sure. Well, anyways.
We don't know.
Until our next shitty film. I'll let you end this, by the way. My name is Adam.
And I'm Alyssa.
And thanks for tuning in.
Bye.